Proverbs chapter 26.
Fools recycle silliness. We no more give honours to fools than pray for snow in summer or rain during harvest. You have as little to fear from an undeserved curse as from the dart of a wren or the soup of a swallow. A whip for the racehorse, a tiller for the sailboat, and a stick for the back of fools. Don't respond to the stupidity of a fool. You'll only look foolish yourself. Answer a fool in simple terms so he doesn't get a swelled head. You're not only asking for trouble when you send a message by a fool. A proverb quoted by fools is limp as wet as a wet noodle. Putting a fool in a place of honour is like setting a mud brick on a marble column. To ask a moron to quote a proverb is like putting a scalpel in the hands of a drunk. Hire a fool or a drunk and you shoot yourself in the foot. As a dog eats its own vomit, so fools recycle silliness. See that man who thinks he's so smart? You can expect far more from a fool than from him. Loafers say it's dangerous out there. Tigers are prowling the streets and then pull the covers back over their heads, just as the door turns on its hinges. So a lazy bones turns back over in bed. A shiftless sluggard puts his fork in the pie, but is too lazy to lift it to his mouth. Like a glaze on cracked pottery, dreamers fantasize their self-importance. They think they're smarter than a whole college faculty. You grab a mad dog by the ears. You put that into a quarrel that's none of your business. People who shrug off deliberate deception, saying, "I didn't mean it, I was only joking," are worse than careless campers who walk away from smouldering campfires. When you run out of wood, the fire goes out. When the gossip ends, the quarrel dies down. A quarrelsome person in a dispute is like a kerosene thrown on a fire. Listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you want junk like that in your belly? Smooth talk from an evil heart is like glaze on cracked pottery. Your enemy shakes hands and greets you like an old friend, all the while convening against you. When he speaks warmly to you, don't believe him for a minute. He's just waiting for the chance to rip you off. No matter how cunningly he conceals his malice, eventually his evil will be exposed in public. Malice backfires, spite boomerangs, liars hate their victims, flatterers sabotage trust.
So Proverbs 26 really is all about avoiding or kind of recognizing and avoiding people who act foolishly. Sean and myself went for a walk early evening yesterday and up to the mount where we normally go. And as we were just...
Could you say where we normally go?
Where we normally go. And just towards one part, there were four young men in probably the early 20s that obviously had had some drink. I don't think they were drunk, but they were kind of very merry and obviously just ignoring the conditions that have been placed in place by the government. So we came back for a walk, and then I just caught the last about the last 10 minutes. I think it was a program on last night from about, I don't know what time it started, so I only caught the last 10 minutes, but it was a tribute to Vera Lynn. Did anybody else see that? No? Wave to me, didn't see that. Anyway, they were obviously playing some of the songs from Vera Lynn, and they were interviewing some of the soldiers who fought in the Second World War and obviously are still alive. And some of them were kind of fighting back the tears as they were listening to We'll Meet Again and various great songs that she sang. And I just thought about the difference of character of these earlier lads that I'd seen up on the mount and the character of these war veterans. And I just kind of got thinking, what type of person or what type of people do I want to mix with? What type of people as Christians should we gather around us? And I guess the richness in these people who have served in the war. And in various churches, I've come across people when I was young, they were obviously very old, and one or two had been in the war. And literally to sit at their feet, they would never boast about the war. In fact, you have to kind of probe quite deeply to ever get them talking about it. But the richness of character and life experience, particularly for me as a young pastor, was just so wonderful. And Proverbs kind of 26 really is a warning to us and a reminder to us as to the type of people we need to mix with. But there's a slight, or there could be a slight theological problem for some of us, because you might be familiar with the words of Matthew 5:22 that says, "To everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever shall say you fool shall be guilty enough to go into the hell of fire." So why is Solomon talking about fools and Jesus saying what he says about calling someone a fool? Just to kind of clear that up. What one commentator tells us is this: to call a brother a fool is declaring to be worthless. If a man is but a fool, a blight on society, it would be better for all if he were dead. To conclude that one is worthless then is to come to the conclusion that the world would be best rid of him, which is one short step from murder. And that's the what Jesus was saying. Don't call anybody a fool. Don't put anybody into that category. Our Lord did not condemn the assessment of a person's character, but the assassination of one's character. So that's quite an important decision that we need to kind of come to, or draw to rather. One does not condemn the assessment of a person's character, but the assassination of one's character. We can't ignore the silly behavior of some people. So just as the Lord did not forbid us from discerning the character of fools, the book of Proverbs commends this assessment as necessary for those who would be wise. And so it says in verse 4, "Don't respond to the stupidity of a fool. You'll only look foolish yourself." In other words, don't allow somebody to goad you. Don't take the bait that silly people can put to you, to us at time. Just make time for people who are in genuine need, who really would appreciate the help that is on offer. Don't waste time with people who just want to waste our time. We just need to be wise. And in verses 13 to 15, we have a warning against laziness. Always an excuse for some people to get out of hard work. But 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7 says this: "Therefore be alert and of sober mind that you might pray." Peter tells us again in his second letter, so don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert, discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the other. So there's a time for rest, there's a season for everything, but there's a time for work. And as we eventually come out of this tough situation that we are in, some people will feel exhausted and will need to be refreshed. But also there's going to be a lot of opportunities to serve God, maybe in ways that we've never done before and never thought of. But it's time not to be lazy, but it's time literally to roll our sleeves up. I sometimes think when we pray for a move of God in our nation, and we kind of sometimes use the word revival, I sometimes whether we think that life's going to be easier. And maybe in some ways it is, but I think when you look at revivals, people became more busy because there was a lot more to do. People were coming to faith and there was lots of people to nurture and people to help. And so when we pray, kind of praying into revival, in that sense, we need to be energetic, we need to be ready for what God will do in the answer to those prayers. Jesus himself says, as long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And so it's not a time for laziness. And again, then it goes on and tells us to avoid gossip and people who like to quarrel. When you run out of wood, the fire goes out. When the gossip ends, the quarrel dies. Verse 21, a quarrelsome person in a dispute is like throwing kerosene onto a fire. It just erupts even more. And so we need to gather around us people who will speak truth and peace into the troubled situations. And so Solomon kind of highlights kind of foolish behavior in this one to remind us that we need to gather wise people around us. Verse in the Old Testament that talks about the tribe, the men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what to do. And that's how we need to be before God. We need to understand the times, and we need to know what we should be doing, and then we need that energy to be doing that. So we rest when we need rest, but then we need to be energetic in serving God when we need his guidance, his help, his support, but knowing that the day will come where we will be flat out. Sometimes if you bring them up, we think, well, Pastor Robert, before this lockdown, we were all flat out and almost feel flat out now doing church in a different way. But again, the other week, we looked at that verse, they that wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. So again, let's keep good company. Let's discern what God's purpose and what God's will is. And let's make sure that we can work with our sleeves rolled up when God reveals to us exactly what we're able to do when we come out of this lockdown.